Hare Krishna, this is Devadar Swami. Someone there?
Hello, Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bob. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Sometimes the class here is slightly conflicted with other things that I have to do in Vrindavan. This morning, I'm going to Nandibram, and this is my my plan is that this would be my last Vrindavan before I leave Vrindavan, and then I have 2 weeks, I guess what they call downtime, but or uptime. So that's supposed to leave at 8 o'clock, and it's about 7:35 here. But what I think I'll do is I'll begin to give the class, and then as I'm walking towards the, place where the devotees are congregating, I'll continue to give class. So, Let's start. Reading from, I'm going to do Brihad Bhagavatam because it's what I'm reading now, and I don't have time to prepare anything else in Vrindavan at this time. Several groups of people here, and it's so nice to see how much they're appreciating Sri Vrindavan when they approach it in the right way. And one of the five most important items of devotional service is Mathura Vas, which means to visit these holy places. And with all of the potent devotional items, even a neophyte, one who has little attachment, can experience bhava or extreme attachment to Krishna. If they perform the items without offense. So it's so nice to see people coming from around the world, whether they are Krishna bhaktas or not, having a real significant transformation. And when the heart is transformed substantially, then tears come to the eyes. And Raghunath Das took a group here. And on the last day they came to the place I'm staying at where Mahahari, he's assisting me now. We made such a beautiful lunch for them. And they came to my room, and people from all walks of life, one man from works investment banker, another lady, a doctor, someone working in this and different people, and we do kirtan, and I just ask them to remember something in Vrindavan that moved them, some experience, and not just to remember the externals, but what one felt. And I made the point, and this I got from Patanjali Sutras, and I think it's a very relevant point, that what attachment is memory of pleasure. And through the memory of pleasure that is fleeting and temporary, we actually can suffer. Or what to speak of memory of pleasure that's illicit or immoral, we really suffer. Because it forces us to do things that are not for our benefit. So I explain that in spiritual life, one of the real important practices is to get memories of pleasure that is wholesome and spiritual. And I find that there's no better place to do that than Vrindavan. So I ask them to remember their experiences that gave them pleasure here. And by remembering those experiences, you deepen the memory. and it has a more powerful, positive effect on your life. And I know many, many people, their lifeline are those memories or experiences in Vrindavan that carry them on for the rest of their spiritual life when they're in atmospheres which are less conducive to spiritual life. So it was nice to see people actually in tears remembering some of the experiences they've had in Vrindavan and the feelings of gratitude or beauty for spiritual life that they are remembering here. And I have the names of all the people, and this group was all from the New York area. So be nice to meet them again. So I'll read a little bit from Brihad Bhagavatamrita from text 14 and kind of explain it. It's such a wonderful book. For now, this is Narada. From now on, I intend to stay here permanently with you. By your power, I shall certainly be able to overcome the curses I receive from Daksha and others. Commentary, not only Daksha, but others have been cursed, have also cursed Narada to be unable to stay in one place for more than a short time. Daksha cursed him as follows, quote, you have made me lose my sons once, and now you've again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Bhagavatam 6.4.43. In the allegorical story of King Paranjan, old age, the daughter of time, also curses Narada. Because you refuse my request to marry me, you will... you will not be able to stay in one place for a long time. Bhagavatam 4.27.22. So this is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and it's the section where Narada is searching for the person who is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And what is Krishna's mercy? Krishna's mercy is his own internal potency of love, which is the pleasure of God, his love for God. And that potency is injected into the hearts of those who want to serve him selflessly. And that person, imbued with that potency, with that sentiment of love for God, becomes attractive to God. What gives you pleasure are those things that you are attracted to. And those things that you are attracted to will attract and control you. Those things you are attracted to will attract and control you. So what attracts and controls God, you cannot get pleasure from something that doesn't control you and doesn't attract you. Because if you're detached from it, it will not give you pleasure. And if you're attached to it, it will control you. Think of anything you're attached to, you're controlled by it. Sex life, you're controlled by it. Money, you're controlled by it. Family, you're controlled by it. The holy name, you're controlled by it. The deities, you're controlled by it. You have to come to the temple. You have to do service. Pure devotee, you're controlled whatever they want, you will do. You'll put yourself under their desire, in their mission. So this potency is the potency that attracts God. Like a magnet, he's drawn to it. And therefore, what can be more beautiful than the thing that attracts God? And we have the ability to bring that very thing into our heart, which is devotion for God and love. And love is selfless, love is pure, it's devotion. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, as Narada is searching, and now he's come to, he was pointed to Prahlad by Lord Shiva saying, no, there's someone even more glorious than the goddess of fortune and myself, and that is Prahlad, the devotee. So Narada sees him and begins to glorify Prahlad for his activities. So what you see is different manifestations of that same devotional, loving potency which imbues the whole being of the devotee. So we see the symptoms of that as Narada describes the glories of Prahlad. And what is the glories of Prahlad? It's his unalloyed devotion. It's being the embodiment of the most attractive thing in the world, the thing that attracts God himself. And that's pure, unalloyed devotion and love. And our whole process in spiritual life is to please God and therefore to get that which attracts and pleases him, which is pure devotional service. And when one has that, it's not easy. Because the symptom of bhava or the budding of those devotional sentiments is sudulabha. It's very difficult to attain. Why? Specifically because if God gives you that potency, he is under your control. And that's the glory of God. The glory of a person is that he's conquered by love. If you're not conquered by love, you are cold-hearted. If you are not conquered by love, you are impersonal. So being conquered by love is the most glorious quality. Because that means that you yourself are a soft-hearted and loving being. So God is soft-hearted, God is loving, God is conquered by love. And therefore, in the two main books about God, about Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, where do we see him first? In both books, both in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, we see Krishna conquered by his devotee, driving the chariot of his devotee in a very low social position. Why? Just to help us understand that the most exalted quality of the absolute reality is his loving dealings, which means his ability to subordinate himself to the desires of that thing which he is attracted to, his own loving potency, which is in the heart of the devotee. So look at that devotee as just imbued. And when one is imbued with that potency of love and devotion, then everything that person does is so sweet and so attractive. His words are attractive and so beautiful. His body and movements are beautiful. His thoughts are beautiful. And if you meditate on such a person, then you become beautiful. Because, the Patanjali Sutras is so relevant in that regard, that that Patanjali recommends is one of the meditations that one can do to steady and make the mind lucid is make as the object of your meditation one who is pure and free from desire. Because that will come to you. That's why we're reading Brihadbhagavatamrita. It's such a sweet and beautiful thing. So we see that in many ways. And we see it here in a beautiful way, too, where God is so attractive that Narada is saying, look, I just want to be with you. We want to be with beautiful people. And a beautiful person is a person whose heart is pure. I just want to be with you. And I'm so confident in your power of devotion. I'm so confident in your power of devotion that it will counteract the curse. And what is Narada Muni's curse? Narada Muni's curse is he was cursed. There was the story with Daksha and his sons. Narada made them all renunciates first. 1,000 of the Hayashvas. And then the next batch of sons, 10,000, Daksha got mad and cursed them. You're a rascal. Look what you've done, honest. And he said, now you won't be able to spend more than one day. You won't be able to stay in one place for more than, what did he say? For more than a short time. And I guess materially that's a curse. Because if you want to enjoy, you have to have time to organize the environment to suit your desires. So you stay in one place for a time, you can maximize enjoyment on the material platform. And when you travel, then it's a disruption because you're at a particular... That's why the hotel industry, they try to create such beautiful atmospheres for people because, you know, the people are in their homes and it's organized for their enjoyment, but it's a curse on a material platform. That's why there is sannyas, because if a person stays in a particular place for some time, he can start organizing it for his enjoyment and therefore, because everything seems to be placed by one for his enjoyment, one develops a hankara, the self-centered consciousness, and I am the controller. And therefore, at a certain age, one is recommended to take sannyas and travel and depend on God. And therefore, in a traditional sannyas, you go out to the woods and the forest, and you're wandering. And what's happening? You're wandering, and you haven't control. You have not controlled the environment as home for your own pleasure and comfort. So where are you going to get even your necessities? Well, the stream is there, cool water. The tree is there. You lay down in some shade. Protection is there because the snake knows that that God is in the heart of the snake, God is in your heart, and God will protect you. And therefore, you start developing faith in Krishna. And the highest stage of sannyasa is paramahamsa. You stay in one place, but you make absolutely no endeavor or effort for your own things. And then, lo and behold, what happens? Food comes. Because God said, oh yes, God is the controller. This is all an illusion I had in the household that that things are dependent on me, that I'm the only factor of action. And it's an illusion that this is my eternal residence. And this is an illusion that these were my eternal relationships. So Narada had that type of curse. Okay, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to continue talking, but I'm going to be walking out the door and going to the meet the group for the program. But I've been teaching this and every day. So it's really good to lecture here from Vrindavan on the phone too, because every day downstairs, and such a nice group of devotees coming, and it's increasing every day, and we're really having a nice time discussing this, and it's always nice. I always appreciate, I can say it again and again, but most of the days Mother Srimati comes, and she's such an advanced soul, so that always brings the katha to another level, just having someone like that in the audience. That's nice. Just give me a second here. I'm just trying to find out what I'm doing here. But, one second. I got to put the phone down, get a few things I need, and then I'll be right with you. Be right with you. Be right with you. Just got to get a few things before I go out on Prakram. And I'll, it's kind of a little, I know, a little bit of an unusual class, someone kind of walking around, but I got to put a few things in my bag, especially the sunscreen for my head. She's been getting burnt. Oops. Wrong bag. Well, so as Prahlad is actually being glorified, it's just different symptoms of that same thing. The person whose consciousness is so intensely imbued with the highest sentiments of devotion. Okay, I'm just checking if I have what I need. One second here. Okay, so all the descriptions of Prahlad are just symptoms of that. For example, when Narada first comes to see him, just one more second, got to lock my door, and I'll be right with you. And then we can have another 10, 15 minutes. Excuse me. So when he first comes, when Narada is first coming, he's very enthusiastic. He wants to see, he's heard about this by the speed of the mind, because on the highest platform is another realm which is beyond time and space. And great yogis can attain that realm. When someone goes into a type of samadhi, there's absolutely no concept of time, because ultimately he can go beyond the realm of time. But when he comes out of samadhi, the only way he knows how much time it is to look at the clock, because he has no experience of that. This is the last thing I should do, and then I'm there. 1 second. So Prahlad was deep in meditation, because that's the symptom. If you have that type of attraction for God, his own potency of love that attracts him, which is imbued in your heart, you're so deeply absorbed and deep, and you get deeper and more absorbed that you have no cognizance of the outside world. And that meditation, and Prahlada's meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, can be so deep that if you want to awaken from that type of consciousness, it takes a considerable time. But at the same time, because you're so much focused on the lotus feet of the Lord, the Supreme Lord reciprocates with one and gives one whatever knowledge he needs to know, including, here's the saint coming. And then, Prahlad, this is also beautiful. So you have the image of this young boy imbued with devotion and how attractive he must be. That when the Sringadev comes out of the pillar and he's so angry that Aranyakashipu tried to abuse his top devotee, the Sringadev is so angry that even Lord Brahma cannot pacify him. But as soon as he sees Prahlad, that attractive force of prema bhakti in his heart immediately changes his mood. It's so hard to change someone's anger and pacify one's anger. But love is so powerful that immediately his anger is not only pacified, but he puts his paw on Prahlad. He picks Prahlad, who paid obeisances, up off the ground and hugs Prahlad and puts his hand on Prahlad's head and begins to stroke him very affectionately. And then wants to offer him any benediction. So here's another symptom of one who has that attractive, loving quality. It's so good, you don't want anything else. You're not the least attracted to anything else. Can we say that about ourselves? But when you have that in your heart, you really don't care for anything else. And certainly you don't want anything that can diminish what you have in your heart, like a position, like a sexual partner, like a position, like wealth. You don't care. So you can't, Prahlad, what do you want, Prahlad? I'll give you the most beautiful woman in the world. Prahlad, what do you want? I'll give you the biggest position. What do you want? I'll give you the greatest wealth. Whatever you want, Prahlad, I will give you. And Prahlad, he didn't want anything. Because he had the highest pleasure. Actually, there's a want in us. We all have wants or desires, which means that there's something lacking within us. And without the proper knowledge, without the proper association, without the proper understanding, we have a false conception of what that is that we're lacking. But if we think deeply, ultimately what we're lacking is love and an object of love that's worthy of being loved. And when you have that, there's nothing else you want. And therefore, he couldn't give Prahlad anything. But Prahlad, who has that love for Nisringadev and wants to satisfy Nisringadev, understands that Nisringadev is really hankering to reciprocate with him and give him something. So he accepts it graciously. Anyway, there's so much more that can be said about this story. There's such great stories in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about this. But I'll have to kind of end a little bit prematurely. Would anyone like to say Hare Krishna? I always like to hear a few voices out there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Malone.
Malone, wow, you've become a steady member here. Thank you.
I am. Yes, as often as I can.
Well, very good, yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. How are you doing?
It's really wonderful here, and I hope that you can come sometime to India and experience this spiritual culture, you know, and it's so moving, the experience. Yeah. So we hope to see you here sometime, and I'll contact you when I get back to the States. And thanks for joining the classes. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for holding them. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. This is Amy Heindel in Orlando, Florida, USA.
Oh, Amy, I just got a letter from you. Oh, great. Well, thank you for attending the classes. Great.
Thanks.
And, wow, there's some new people on, which is really great. I appreciate it. Good. Well, thank you for joining regularly. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Rasikya.
Rasikya, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Another wonderful class. Thank you again.
Good. It's nice that there's some new young ladies also. That was Malone and Amy that are coming. And I, if you're listening, this is Rasikya. She's my god sister who's been a devotee and for so many years in Krishna consciousness and experience and devotional. Thank you.
Hari.
I will. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Govardhan, thank you. I'll be back in New Jersey in just a short time. Thank you also for your thank you for getting this here. Okay, one more person. Say Hare Krishna. Okay, then, Anyway, I know everyone doesn't want to say Hare Krishna every time, but I get the numbers, and many of you are attending the class. So, thank you all, and I'm on my way to Nandaga. Panchakopa Tridhyascha Kripasindhu Vaivacha Papitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Vaishnavevyo Vaishnavevyo.